Come check out the newest bike shop in Omaha, Dillon Brothers Indian Motorcycle. Indian Motorcycle now has 9 fantastic models, including the Dark Horse and Scout motorcycles. And they sell the coolest 3-wheeler around, the Slingshot. Take a look at DillonBrothersIndian.com.
Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
The most interesting thing, and I'll get more into this, is you have to assume that this is something that Oregon State and everybody involved with the University Athletic Department, everything, knew about in terms of his past transgression of what happened with that 6-year-old girl and all that stuff. And clearly meant that they were fine with it to the extent of allowing him to be a part of the university, a part of the baseball team, and play throughout his career in Corvallis. And so what's hard now is it's a tough situation because this isn't something that just happened. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't something that just happened with Luke Heimlich. Like, he was arrested over the weekend and charged with some sort of sexual abuse or misconduct during the season or anything like that. This was something that occurred basically 6 years ago when he was 15. And if you want to argue for him to be able to play and pitch, you can say, listen, this is in the past. He's gone through the legal system and he's pitched all year.
Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, Game Time with Nick Baugh.
I think one of the more interesting parts of it is I'm not so sure that the real story isn't on Oregon State and how much they knew and how much they care. That almost is the most interesting element of this whole thing, because there are certain universities that have a zero tolerance policy for any sexual violence, sexual assault, sexual misconduct in your history. That if you have any of that, you're not allowed to enroll and attend that certain university. Indiana has this policy. So I'm curious what Oregon State knew and how that was viewed and handled.
Only on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and the 1620 The Zone app.
Give us something that we just would have maybe no clue about in terms of being a great slot wide receiver.
Most people, you know, they watch the play, like, oh yeah, he's just got an easy route. Yeah, he just runs to this location, turns around, the ball will be there perfect.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like that, and I know you know that. There's so many little things that go into it, and, you know, you get to play in the huddle, and then, you know, right away the first thing you got to do is ID the defense, figure out what coverage you're in, because, I mean, your route will change drastically with, you know, by how the player is guarding you, you know, the defender. And then you got to understand, you know, your landmarks, the timing and spacing of the play. And like you said, if someone's blitzing, that changes things. I mean, there's so many little things. Of course, if there's audible, I mean, there's so many little things that you have to know and understand, especially in the slot position, because it's such a tough position to play. And you got to be able to go over the middle and take big hits and just understand that that's going to happen.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh.
Where are we at with the stash, man?
Oh, it's in full force right now.
Second hour here on a Wednesday. Really excited to bring out our next guest, and let's do it right now. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network joins us on our Hardys Hotline. Dave, how are you? How's your summer going?
Going great, Nick. How about you?
Everything's fantastic. I'm not going to lie. I was caught off guard, though, as I'm sure you were too, maybe, with what happened last week in Columbus, Ohio, with Thad Matta being... You know, I know his package kind of interestingly, but at the end of the day, he was fired. And I think it kind of caught people off guard, especially the timing of it and all those things. Were you surprised when the news broke to you that Thad Matta was being let go?
Yeah, I was really shocked when it became clear that it was a firing, which, as you said, you know, it kind of took a little while into the news conference to figure that out. It just because of the cordiality between, you know, Gene Smith and Thad, and kind of the way that the message was conveyed originally, it wasn't really clear that that's what it was. But once it became clear that that's what it was, I was really surprised. I'd seen the reports that he might coach one more year. That was kind of the initial reporting, which obviously was erroneous. I mean, that made sense to me. I've spent enough time around Thad to know that he is struggling physically and that it is really hard for him and inhibits him. And so I could have seen a scenario where he gets one more year, but it shocked me. I mean, I really was thrown off by it, no doubt.
Hey, Dave, was Thad maybe underappreciated? Because, I mean, I'm even a college basketball guy, and I thought Thad was a good coach, but then you plaster his resume and what he's done at Ohio State, and you go, holy smokes, he wasn't necessarily, at least for me, top of mind of, like, those great coaches, and you start regurgitating, you know, the top 5 or 6 dudes. Was he maybe underappreciated?
Yeah, I think he was. I mean, it's crazy to think that of any coach who's ever been at a Big Ten school for at least 10 years, you know, Thad Matta had the highest winning percentage ever. He won 5 Big Ten regular season titles and 4 Big Ten titles. Those were the most of any coach during his tenure. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly knew how good he was, and it was evident from being around him and from covering this league. But I hear you. I mean, I don't think people necessarily lumped him in the same category with, let's say, for instance, Tom Izzo or even Bo Ryan to a certain extent. And I think they should, and they should think of him in that way, because the numbers certainly bear it out. And if you know, you've seen the way that he operates his practice, I mean, he's a really, really good coach, both X's and O's and as a recruiter.
And I know it's speculating at this point, but like, what do you think will happen with Thad now? I mean, do you think he'll coach again? I would assume he will. I mean, I know he's maybe got to address his health a little bit, but he's too good to not get another opportunity, right?
Well, I think the opportunity would be there, Nick, if he feels like he's up to it.
Right.
It just seems to me that, you know, in talking to him, he once told me that it takes him like an hour to get out of bed, kind of get ready, you know, stretching out and doing everything that he needs to do to kind of be able to just make it through a day. You know, he had this back surgery that went awry, and he has no feeling in one of his feet, and it's just a really tough situation. You know, he's a reasonably young guy. I mean, it's funny. I grew up in Illinois, and the Illinois State Tournament for basketball still is a pretty big deal, but was a huge, huge deal then. And Thad was on one of the great small-town teams, the Hoopston East Lynn Corn Jerkers. And I remember, it's a great name, right?
Yeah.
Friends like that one.
Yeah.
And I can remember Thad as a player. I mean, only, you know, I was in high school at the time. I remember watching him. And I mean, he was a great athlete and a great player. And so it was hard to kind of see him, knowing, having watched him that long ago, and knowing how hard it is for him to get around now.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hope that he's able to get healthy. But, yeah, I mean, assuming that somehow he's able to kind of get himself to a point where he feels like recruiting is easier than it was and you know, traveling around and just functioning day to day, then absolutely I could see him, you know, kind of continuing and getting another gig, because he is a great, great coach.
Dave Revson's my guest of the Big Ten Network. You know, there's this idea out there, sometimes we assess coaching jobs when they're vacant, of, you know, be leery of going to a football school when you're a basketball coach, or be leery of going to a basketball school when you're a football coach. But the beauty of the Big Ten is there are a lot of schools that are that but are good in the other sport, like Michigan State, basketball school, great at football. Ohio State, football school, great at basketball. I think in 2017, don't you think the brands can cross-promote and help each other?
Yes, I do. I don't think that, I mean, I agree with you. When you think of Ohio State, you think of them initially as a football school, and there's no doubt about it. And I think that's the way they kind of think about themselves. But they have all the resources in the world to succeed in basketball. We have seen them play, you know, not that long ago in a national championship game. It's a place that, you know, they've won national champion or a national championship. That was a long time ago. But you can win at the very, very highest level at Ohio State. And so from my point of view, I don't think that that would make anyone hesitate about taking that job.
Right.
I think you go somewhere where you think you can win, where you have the resources, where you have the support both from the fan base and from the administration. They have everything they need. They have a natural recruiting base. You know, this is a place where you can win at the very, very highest level, and you can do that whether or not football is succeeding or not.
Okay, so initial thoughts of Chris Holtmann being hired to Ohio State. What are your initial thoughts, Dave?
Well, everything I've heard is great.
Yeah.
I've never actually been around Chris Holtmann at all, but people who I trust who have been around him, Nick, say he's fantastic. So I will take their word for it. I assume you probably have had some contact with him.
Yeah, he's great. Great guy.
So, yeah, and that's what everybody says. You know, it's a fascinating path. I mean, you think about where Chris Holtmann was 48 months ago or even 36 months ago before he was named the head coach of Butler. You know, he takes what a lot of people would perceive to be a step down in some ways, or an unusual step, I guess, of leaving a head coaching position to become an assistant. And then, you know, through some unfortunate circumstances, ends up as the interim coach when Brandon Miller took his leave of absence, and then becomes the head coach and did a great job. So, you know, from that point of view, certainly caught my eye. I mean, the job that he's done at Butler of getting that program back to where it was maybe 10 years ago or you know, 8 years ago, whatever it was, that's really impressive. And then, you know, you kind of you add in everything positive that everyone is saying about him, and I'm anxious to get to know him a little bit and to work with him.
Dave, Jim Delaney has said that the Big Ten is discussing possibly moving to a 20-game conference schedule. I know it's not necessarily a huge addition of games, but 20 games is a lot. Do you like that idea? How do you see that idea potentially?
Well, from where I sit, Nick, it's a great idea just because of the notion of we'd have better games on our air.
Right.
So, you know, as a play-by-play guy, too, I get to call better games.
Yep.
So, there's a lot of parts of it that are really appealing to me from a purely selfish perspective,
which, of course, is
how all of us view the world. But if you were looking at it from, like, does this make sense for the league, I really think it does. I mean, here's the deal, that in college basketball, I believe you are truly incentivized to play a good schedule, right? You are rewarded by the RPI and by the selection committee and all those different factors that go into whether or not you make the tournament and where you're seated. You're rewarded for playing good teams. So going out and playing some fourth-tier team in the non-conference doesn't help you.
Right.
That's not gonna advance you. Whereas in football, you know, it's a little more ambiguous, I think. I do think there's still a little bit of, you know, if you go undefeated, I think you say, well, we'll go undefeated and we'll roll the dice.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So playing an extra conference game is kind of, is that a great idea? And yet the Big Ten's still doing it. You know, I know the ACC's going to 20 for basketball. I think it makes sense because I think that the incentives are such that you would not be shooting yourself in the foot to do this.
Yeah.
I think you'd be rewarded for it as a league.
Yeah, my analogy has always been college football strikes me as a giant game of Jenga. Just don't screw it up. Don't knock everything out. Just as long as you stay undefeated, I think you put yourself in a good spot.
And I think it's less so than it used to be. I mean, I do think having the human element with the selection committee now maybe changes that equation. But until I see a team go undefeated and get left out of this thing from power conference,
right,
I'm still saying that's your best path.
I agree.
Not necessarily scheduling, putting together some sort of killer schedule.
You know what's crazy, Dave, is, you know, at least how the summer is for me, I feel like you blink and it's the 4th of July, and then you blink and it's media days, and then it's fall camp. And the bus tours for you guys are going to begin in about 2 months. If you had to say right now, which spot, which school you're maybe most intrigued to go check out when you guys are doing your bus tour, which school has you most intrigued?
Well, now, are we talking like from strictly a football perspective?
Yes.
Or is there like, can I bring the culinary out?
We're not bringing in the food, Dave. We're talking football here. We can, and maybe those are two separate. You can give me the food one if you want to as well.
No. I mean, you know, it's the same old deal with these jokers. How many meals I've had with DiNardo. My goodness. Where am I interested to see? I mean, I'm interested to see all, you're always interested in the new coaches, and I think we have some really interesting ones. You know, I think Brohm's going to be fascinating at Purdue. Kind of, I actually think he has a few pieces in place. I'm not worried about the receiver core. It's not very deep. But he has a good quarterback in David Blau. And, you know, can he kind of get his system going a little bit in the first year and you know, at least score some points? I mean, you know, that to me is step number one for them. Fascinating to see Minnesota. You know, I mean, obviously, P.J. Fleck is a bundle of energy, and look, they were 9-4 team last year, so I think expectations are going to be pretty high, and yet they were pretty banged up, particularly on the offensive line in the spring, so, you know, you got to replace your quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the new coach part of it is always interesting to me, and I think that those are always the ones I'm most intrigued to see, but it's just fun getting out
no
there,
doubt.
As you know. I mean, I love this stuff. I never want to wish a summer away, and in off season, I enjoy it, but man, I love my job, and so to get out there and kind of get that fresh slate and see what everyone's going to be. I mean, I genuinely believe there are intriguing storylines at all 14 schools, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get you out of here on this one. You know, there's always kind of a direct correlation from quality of coaches to conference performance, especially in football. And you just kind of went through a couple. Brohm's intriguing. Fleck. I mean, the guy went undefeated in the regular season. Lovie Smith. Paul Chryst, veteran dudes like Ferentz and Riley. You got the hotshot new guy in James Franklin. Of course, the you got D'Antonio, Herb, and Harbaugh. Has the depth of coaching for Big Ten football ever been better to you?
It's pretty darn good. I think that's a great observation. And it's interesting when people ask kind of, well, what happened in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
How did the Big Ten get from where it was? You know, when Urban got there and was very critical of the recruiting, for instance, how did it get from there to where it is right now, where you look at the recruiting rankings and the Big Ten is toward the top, and then the performance on the field, which correlated with that last year. And to me, it's all about the coaches. And, you know, these are guys who are proven winners. Certainly the money is there to spend whatever you need to have a great staff and to have a great head coach. You know, no one is hurting for cash in this league.
No.
And so I think schools are kind of figuring out that, you know, the way to do this is not through rhetoric, and it's not necessarily through traditional, although that helps. I mean, I think it's about spending money on the head coaches, having a great staff, having great facilities, and all that stuff is kind of coming into play in the league. I mean, where I feel like from top to bottom, you've got that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of that's TV money, no doubt.
Yep.
But a lot of that is just, if you're going to do this, you need to make it a priority. And I think there were some schools that were kind of trying to go about it maybe in a way where they felt like, well, you know, yeah, we'd love to win, but maybe you're paying lip service to it more than you are paying money to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot more places have put their money where their mouth is. And as a result, to your point, the staffs and head coaches are great.
Dave Revson, Big Ten Network. Dave, always enjoy our conversations. We appreciate your time today, my man. Thank you.
Okay, Nick, anytime. Enjoy the rest of the summer.
You got it. Dave Revson, Big Ten Network. Always enjoy catching up with Dave. He's really good at what he does. He's got an interesting perspective on a variety of things. 402-951-1620. Anthony Tolliver still to come. But let's take a break. And do we want to do the mailbag next? Do we want to do it at 12:30? What do you think? What's the best thing to do? You're the producer, man.
I think, as we do some on-air producing,
yeah,
here, I think, just take you inside my inbox right now. We need more questions.
All right, we need more questions.
So how about we do it at 12:30?
Let's do it at 12:30.
Pressure people. If you want the mailbag, send me questions.
We have 13 minutes until we're going to do this mailbag. Get your questions in right now. All right, right now. You can win lunch for four to Zio's for just asking me a question, okay? We're going to have the best email question win lunch for four to Zio's. Anything you want to ask me, serious or silly, email Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at 1620zone.com. We're going to do the mailbag at 12:30. You got to love taking you behind the curtain and how it's awesome.